Welcome to Everything Scary. My name is Lynn, and I'm here with my co-host, local celebrity. sorry, international celebrity.
Thank you.
Matt McLean.
Hello, hello.
Every Tuesday, we release a new episode, mostly true crime, but we've also been known to cover a pandemic, a haunting, a super mad, super strong chimpanzee. We'll cover anything and everything scary. Please rate us 5 stars and join us on Instagram at Everything Scary Pod. Here we go.
3, 2, 1.
It's the eye contact.
Go.
They can't hear the eye contact.
Coming in 3, 2, 1.
Please stop.
Record.
I'm going to need you to get some sunglasses.
We have been recording for the last 17 seconds, by the way, so all of this is...
So good. People know how creepy you are.
That is correct. Yep.
So welcome back.
Welcome back. Part number two.
We're doing number two of OJ.
Who's also a number two.
Mm-hmm. I knew you were going to say that.
You didn't know shit.
I said it with you.
Okay, you're right. My bad. I apologize.
If you haven't listened to part one, you might want to go back. In part one, we got into OJ's background, his first marriage. He did some really good stuff in football. We all know about that because we're huge football fans over here.
Yeah, totally.
We talked about when he first met Nicole Brown and their tumultuous relationship. And we last ended off when Nicole and OJ were attempting to give their relationship another try, and Nicole was calling 911 as she hid and cowered in the washroom, fearing for her life.
Yep.
Sound about right?
Sounds about right.
You remember all that stuff?
Yep, and I even remember the Marcus Allen stuff, too.
Yay-o.
There you go. Wow. Internet thing.
So you can absolutely hear OJ losing his mind outside of the door, but in OJ's book, he downplays that event, as he does with most things. Sometimes he doesn't even downplay it. He
omits it completely.
Or he just turns it into how he was doing something great instead of something bad.
So, I was testing the door's durability by banging on it as hard as I could.
He's like, hey, Nicole, it's your friend OJ.
Hi, Nicole's world. It's me, OJ.
So Nicole's 911 call was in October, and the couple had decided to give themselves a full year to try and see if their relationship stood a chance. Now, what should be noted is OJ said they gave it the full year, May to May.
Mm-hmm.
Faye said that they did April till October, which, given this 911 call, would make a lot more sense to me.
Yeah.
But
they called it right here.
Yeah. So, yes, they were going to give it a full year, and they had made the deal on Mother's Day of 1993. So, May of 1994 is when they would decide if they were going to move back in together and put their family back together.
All right. Good deal.
Okay. Well, clearly, this was not working out, and OJ said...
You gotta be shitting me, lady.
Ruh-roh. And OJ said that it got to the point where he was literally counting down the days until Mother's Day. He said that when it came, and he told Nicole it was not working, she did not look surprised or even upset. They both knew that this relationship was over. And OJ said that they were both relieved that they wouldn't have to pretend that this was working anymore. OJ would end up getting back together with Paula. He had surprised her when he met her at the airport when a friend was supposed to be picking her up, and he told her that he was a free man now. Paula had told him when they broke up that she would not be waiting around for him, and she hadn't. But as luck would have it, when OJ and Nicole's year was up, Paula was single, and she admitted to OJ that she had never stopped thinking about him.
Damn it.
What should be noted, too, is that Paula also has a book.
Oh, really?
I have not read her book, though I did try to find it on Audible. Apparently, it's not on Audible.
Is there a lot of pictures in it?
I don't know.
Mm.
I also don't read books that aren't on Audible because I can't read.
Wait, oh yeah, right. It's the audiobook, right? Yeah. Wait, so when you tell me you've been reading all these fucking books for the podcast...
How much time do you think I have? I have a full-time job. I have 3 kids. I'm doing research.
Oh, my God.
Do you think I'm just lying up poolside with a book?
You're a... dirty liar.
Okay, well, I read it with my ears.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I did think it was odd. I was like, she must be really neglecting all those children.
Yeah.
She's just reading all these books.
I'm cleaning. I'm doing dinners. I'm doing all that shit while I'm reading.
Oh, my God.
Quote, unquote, reading.
I love it. Love that you're dusting, and then in your ears, it's like, and then he bludgeoned her to death with a mallet and came back to the crime scene.
But the funniest is, like, sometimes I'll be, because I've got it on my earpod, and I have one in and one out,
yeah,
and I'll just be, like, doing my own thing, and then I'll be like, oh, my God. And my kids will be like, what? And I'm like, nothing.
I got good at art today, Mommy. I got a sticker. Oh, my God, what a brutal murder. Mom, Mommy, I won the behavior award today.
Okay, that's not
Holy
my kids.
Shit, what a piece of crap. Oh, yeah, that's not your kids. No, yeah.
No. I'm like, your house is not in here. Child that won the behavior. Oh, God, there's your landscaper again.
Yes. I should say he tends to walk by those windows without a care in the world, and it is scary.
It's jarring.
Yeah, especially when you're recording a true crime podcast.
Or when we do the Patrons and you're in the nude.
Yes, when I am completely nude. Which, by the way, you're getting there. You've already shed, I believe, 2 layers.
What? Oh, my sweater.
Yeah, and your brassiere. You did that whole thing where you do it under the shirt, and then you're like, fling. Which is very impressive.
It's a sports bra, so I don't really... Maybe I could. Yeah, I could do it.
I don't know why you're flinging all those beige numbers out into the hall.
Beige numbers? God, you make me sound so sexy. Gross. So, yeah. OJ would go out of his way to avoid seeing Nicole even when exchanging the children. Sounds like a weird way
sounds
to say
a
that.
Weird way of saying parental... I don't know. Parental visit? I guess, you know what? I think it is a children exchange.
Well, yeah.
What else would you call it?
I don't know.
Yeah. A parental visit exchange.
You're on duty now.
Yeah.
OJ would have his assistants do the swaps instead of him because he didn't want to see Nicole. Mm-hmm. The year that they had spent trying to reconcile. Whoa.
Reconcile. Here's the thing. Here's your problem, OJ. All right? You're trying to reconcile.
Okay, you went from, like, the Bronx, and now you're, like, in Britain somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. You've been trying to reconcile for too long. I feel like, who's that lady that answers the phones in the Ghostbusters?
That's
hi.
Now there's a niche reference.
Or my cousin
Vinny. The Ghostbusters
Vinny?
Was, like, 1989.
A Buick Skylark.
The Ghostbusters came out before OJ killed everyone.
Oh, yeah. Allegedly killed.
Yeah, sorry.
How dare you have
no respect
we can for the
say
US
it because he
was found guilty in a civil
matter. Yeah.
You can say it?
Hey, we can do whatever we want. There's bigger fish to fry that have said it before they come to us.
That is true.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Can you imagine OJ brings us down for not saying allegedly once?
I would love that.
Oh, man. Obviously murders you because that's his thing. Well, I'm obviously scot-free. Oh, no. He killed a guy, too. Shit.
You're the Ron to my Nicole.
How? And here's the thing. If OJ is innocent, how has he never gone to the Goldman family and been like, you know, your son is a true hero and saved my kids from that attacker that broke in that house one night?
Well, you know, it might have something to do with the $19 million civil suit that they waged against him.
Still.
But yeah, you know, the OJ that wrote the book would have done that. You're right.
Because Ron was killed first. Was he not?
Well... A lot of people say that they can say with certainty because Ron had on his shirt, I think it was like 24 of Nicole's hairs.
Mm-hmm.
So what they think was that Ron interrupted and then he cradled Nicole's head because there was none of his hair or fibers or anything on her. It was all her hair on his shirt.
So they
think that she was already injured when Ron interrupted and he grabbed her and held her.
And then OJ was like, listen, Ron.
Yeah.
That's enough of you.
Yeah, it's not great. None of it's good. But we haven't even got there. What if there's people in here that don't know the story?
They're like, wait a second. That guy from Naked Gun did what? you think we're breaking any news of the OJ murders to anybody?
You heard it here first.
Oh, shit.
OJ was involved in some pretty bad stuff.
That's hilarious. Stop it.
Our audience is the only audience that's never heard this.
Wait, what? We get hate mail for no spoiler alert.
Yeah, guys, hello. So the year that they had spent trying to reconcile, you know, was taxing on OJ, which is really sad.
Couldn't cheat?
Yeah, it's really, they put him in between a rock and a hard space. But he would tell.
Did you say hard space?
Doesn't matter, Matt. It's the same thing as place. A space and a place are the same thing.
Do you know that criticism was coming as soon as you said it? You seem to have that one, that rebuttal loaded and locked in the chamber.
It's the same thing. Like, look at that open place, that open space. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about when I point in that direction, right? Okay.
And it's, everybody knows that NASA developed the place program.
I hate you so much.
And... the place shuttle, okay? And in McDonald's, when you want to horse around, you go to the McPlay space.
Oh, my God. I hate you. I hate your guts. Get out. I'm finishing this on my own.
Oh, no.
You're suspended without pay. Give me your key, too, because I don't.
For my job, too, not just the pod. Yeah. I'm no longer allowed to return to my work.
It's Lynn and Tara tomorrow.
Lynn and Tara. You serve.
She's like, are you the donut girl? Why yeah, are you here?
Oh, my God.
I just crop out your face on all the pictures.
It's like you and Tara. Hey, what up, girl?
So OJ, would tell the story of their time together. And he would say that Nicole had grown increasingly resentful of Kato Kaelin because all she wanted, according to OJ, was to be back in the Rockingham home, and Kato was living there rent-free.
Mm.
He also said that she had caused his maid to quit because she simply didn't like her and had told OJ many times that she wanted her to be fired or to not be around when Nicole was there. And when he refused, Nicole had slapped the maid across the face.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Is this according to OJ by chance?
This is according to OJ.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Then.
So he said, like, I believe his first maid was, I want to say her name is Michelle, but Nicole hated her. And then she kept saying, you got to fire her, OJ. Like, you got to get rid of her. And then she went inside for something. She came back out and she goes, I just slapped her across the face.
Yeah.
And OJ's like, Nicole, you can't do stuff like that. And then he went inside and she was like holding her face and crying.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, I can't be here, OJ. And he was like, okay, well, I'll pay you. And so she recommended his new housekeeper, who was named Gigi. And he continued to pay her until she was able to go and find a... another job because his wife had smacked her across the face.
Cool. Can you pass me those donuts, please?
You betcha.
Can I eat donuts on the pod? I'll be quiet about it, I promise.
Yeah, until I ask you a question, you're like... So, ever since... Well, you're definitely not quiet about opening the box.
This local bakery you found.
Yeah.
From the 100 Mile Market. Donut time.
Donut time.
What time is it, motherfuckers?
I love how you have a roll of toilet paper in here.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't imagine why you have that.
Being on the radio sometimes gives you diarrhea. And that is a professional secret from my industry.
I didn't think that's where we were going. But did you know in Innisfil, just from donut time, in Innisfil we have a Chinese food restaurant and it's called Yum Yum House.
I love it. Donut time.
And it's pretty good.
Yum Yum House.
Yum Yum.
Is it good? It better be good.
Yum Yum.
Yeah, it has to be. Is it good? It's Yum Yum.
Ever since OJ and Nicole had split, according to OJ, people were constantly coming up to him and telling him how hard Nicole had been partying again. Some were even suggesting that OJ should get her into some sort of a treatment facility. And this is making OJ furious. According to OJ, one of Nicole's best friend's husbands, whose name was Ron, not Goldman, came up to him and started to discuss the issues with Nicole and her best friend, Faye. Faye had to be dragged away, kicking and screaming, to be put into a rehab facility. And that is not something Faye denied. She also never spoke of Nicole doing any drugs. She said that she had a cocaine problem and she had to go into a facility, but she did not speak on if Nicole had an issue or not. But
even if blame her. Let's just say, I don't do that all the time. Let's just say, for argument's sake, she was out there partying, which I don't really think that she was a big party animal. She kind of seemed like supermom, so have a hard time thinking she was out drinking every night.
She doesn't, like, she's got beautiful skin, beautiful, like, she doesn't really look, I don't know.
She's like a hard drinker like you and I. Like us. But would you blame her for wanting to go out and party? Like, I mean, I would just say, okay, you know what? Shit, you've been through some shit, girl. Go out. If you want to go out, drink and party and hang out with dudes and French them, who cares?
And French them?
I'm you know, whatever. Or whatever she was doing with them.
Get to some necking.
Honking boobs.
Oh, God, you're so romantic.
Thank you.
Ladies, blonde, tanned ladies.
Blonde, tanned ladies.
Do you need your boobs honked? Because I got the guy for you.
Put it in the comments section.
Yeah.
Leave a review.
Yeah.
Leave a five-star
Leave
review.
A five-star review and tell us, do you want your boobs honked? As long as it's five-star.
That's right. Care. Shout out to Donut Time, by the way. Crushing the powder. I wish I didn't finish my coffee already, though.
Donut Town is on our they're in the Patreons.
This episode brought to you by Donut Town.
Okay, Donut Town, get in touch. Get in touch. So, yes, so he had come up to OJ and he was talking about how these two girls had a pretty big problem. And he ended, not Goldman.
Yeah.
He ended the conversation by saying, and we don't even know the half of it. This sentence would prove to be futile. Not a great sentence to say to OJ.
Yeah, I could see that.
He likes to stew. OJ's a stewer.
OJ's got what we call an anger issue.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a bold leap. I just thought he was stewing, but okay. So now we're going to jump ahead to June, because if we don't, we're going to be here all day long. Okay. The amount of OJ knowledge I have consumed lately, I honestly know more about him than I do about myself.
Your kids.
Myself.
My son, John. Oh, wait, Jake. Oh, God. I really got to get off the OJ stuff.
My son, Orenthal. I mean, Jacob. So OJ and Nicole's daughter, Sydney, was 8 at the time, and she was having her dance recital. Did you know that? That's what I'll... Okay, you know that part. So on the evening of Sunday, June the 12th... What, Matthew?
Just like a mouthful of don't. That's as you predicted.
No one asked you to talk.
As you predicted. Like, did you know that? I spent a weekend...
eating donuts.
In Huntsville. At Deerhurst, and there was a dance competition going on.
I saw
there.
Some of those pictures. That looked like a lot of fun. Where's Deerhurst?
Huntsville. Yeah, it's remarkable.
Really? Is it far? Resort. What's the drive?
Like an hour and change.
Oh, that's not bad.
Not at all. That's where Shania Twain was discovered.
Wasn't she from Timmins?
She was, but she was a performer in one of the shows at Deerhurst, and that's apparently where she was discovered. Somebody saw her and was like, oh my God, we got to get you a record contract.
Yeah. Because you have a pretty face.
That's the story, anyways.
All right. Well, heard it here
first. Yeah, there was like full dance competitions. And my God, if we want to make money, we have to come up with some sort of creative name like Electric Dance Flair. And that will be the name of our competition. And then we invite dance troupes and we charge them a shit ton of money. And
are you talking about me and you? We're going to.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to hire dancers?
No, we don't have to hire them.
Okay. You're not going to be paid.
We come up with the competition. They come to us.
Okay.
They pay us.
Oh, get your pocketbooks
out. Yeah, that's right. You're damn right.
And then so we come up with a dance.
A dance competition.
Okay.
We come up with some awards.
Okay.
And then we invite dance troupes from all over the province to come and perform for awards that we have designed.
But we have absolutely zero qualifications.
And that, my friend, is the dance industry in a nutshell. Yep. Yes. Ideally, you would have a dance background, but guess what? You don't need it.
You do. You play music.
Yeah, that is true.
So you're, I mean, somewhat qualified, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever bob along in your seat when you're playing these things?
I've done that once or twice.
There you go.
I'm a bit of a dancer myself. I'm a private dancer.
Oh, Lord. Ladies, again, this man has a lot to offer.
That's right, ladies. Leave a 5-star review.
So, yeah, so they went to watch Sydney's dance, but OJ found it inappropriate that Nicole was going to be there with her parents, so he didn't want Paula to come with him because he just thought, you know, probably not a great thing, bring my new girl to my ex-girl's kids' recital.
OJ is nothing if he's not reasonable.
And chivalrous.
That's right.
So Paula would later say that this fight that they had was relationship ending, but OJ thought that they had just been simply having a lover's quarrel. OJ attended the recital, and the Browns were all there. OJ said that in the middle of the recital, he started looking around and saw that a lot of other parents had flowers for their little dancers, and he hadn't even thought of it. So he looked down at his program and realized that there was about 6 more acts before Sydney was to be on stage. So according to OJ, he rushed out of the recital and returned in time to see her dance and give her flowers.
Okay. According to OJ, but...
Yeah.
Probably the nicest thing he's ever done as a person, I would think, if that's true. Sorry.
Faye did say a lot. Like, he claims to be like this dad of the year. You know, he loved his kids. He wanted to see his kids and all this kind of stuff. But Faye would say that he barely spent any time with the kids. And when he did, he would often call Nicole early and get her to pick them up because he had certain things to do. And, like, even when he was with them, he wasn't, like...
With them.
With them, yeah. Like, he was, like, you know, doing business stuff and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, who knows? That's according to Faye. OJ's got his story. And to be perfectly honest, OJ's not anything if he's not super honest.
Honest and a stand-up guy.
Yep. And man, can that wear a pair of khakis like nobody I've ever seen before.
And those ugly ass shoes.
But after the show, OJ said that he was in a fine mood. There were conflicting stories on what OJ's mood was after the recital. Many would later testify that when OJ left that day, he was furious. Apparently, it all stemmed from him not being able to accompany Nicole and her parents and kids to a dinner at Mesa Luna after the recital. But OJ tells it differently. He said that he was in fine spirits and that he had always had an open invitation to join for dinner, and that had been his decision not to go. Mm-hmm. He would say, "So no, I didn't leave the recital upset and angry, as some people would have you believe. And I didn't think that the Browns were indebted to me for all of the wonderful things that I had done for them over the years, as other people suggested. Though God knows I had done an awful lot of wonderful things for them."
There you go. Oh, my God.
I re-listened to that part like a thousand years because I'm like, this is the most self-serving bullshit I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Like, I did not think that the Browns were indebted to me for all the wonderful things that, but God knows I had done a lot of wonderful things for them throughout the years.
Does he read the book in your Audible?
No, but somebody that sounds a lot like him does.
Oh, yeah? They make it sound like, that's funny.
Do you want me to play a little bit of it?
Just, I would love to hear.
I just want to put on like one sentence
just like
so you can hear.
Excerpt. I would love to hear what fake OJ sounds
fake
like.
Fake OJ. Okay, ready?
The juice. Yeah.
That I'd beat her mercilessly. Whenever I changed the channel, I'd come across a variation on the same theme. Someone would be talking to another one of these so-called experts about the right way for a woman to leave.
It's on 1.4. It's on, hold on. Listen, this is normal.
I simply didn't get it. This was a story about my ex-wife.
Does it sound like it?
That's crazy, yeah.
I listened to it on 1.4 because I ain't got time.
You're like, I'm a busy mom.
And my brain works fast.
I got a full-time job. I got a bunch of kids. I got a husband. I got a house. I got a car. I got everything on that go.
That's what I sang.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that he didn't leave the recital angry, and he didn't think that the Browns were indebted to him for all the wonderful, wonderful...
Even though he did...
Wonderful things he did for them. OJ said that a bunch of people, including Denise, Nicole's sister, testified that he was simmering with anger.
Mm-hmm.
But as luck would have it, according to OJ, there had been a man from Portland at the recital that evening, and he was surreptitiously taking a video of OJ so that he could, you know, share it with his boys when he got back home. And when the trial began, this man would send that VHS to Los Angeles.
Ooh.
And in that video, it shows a smiling OJ joking around with the Browns after the recital. I tried to find any information on this VHS.
Mm-hmm. No,
I couldn't find anything that corroborated.
Corroborated.
Look at us working through words.
For the record, I wasn't working through it. I was just leaning forward to say it.
Fuck off, Matt.
God, Lynn's so pissed. Oh, great. I'm going to be on the next pod.
I know how to get away with it now.
Yeah, right.
So I tried to find information, couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for this next part, OJ is going to be the one hypothetically telling us this entire night. So what you should know is that he makes mention of Charlie a lot.
Charlie
is not real.
Okay.
When OJ sat down with his ghostwriter, Pablo Fingives, he told Pablo that he could not have committed these crimes alone. He said it very matter-of-factly, and Pablo asked him, "Who was with him then?" To which OJ responded, "I'm not saying I did it." Pablo said, "Okay. Hypothetically, you couldn't do this alone. Who was with you? Who would that be?" OJ: "I don't know." Pablo: "We've got to give him a name. Do you want to call him Charlie?" OJ: "Call him whatever the fuck you want to call him."
Charlie Sheen? And no. OJ murdered Nicole and Ron?
Breaking news. We've figured it out. So, in OJ's telling, he said that after the recital, he went home. He tried to call Paula, but she's not answering his calls. He said he was getting really upset about what Ron had said about Nicole. We don't know the half of it.
Not Ron Goldman.
Okay. It's Nicole's best friend's husband.
Right.
Ron.
In my mind, I will refer to him as Ronald.
Sure, do your thing.
Thank you. You're always so supportive of me.
He was getting himself worked up because if he didn't know the half of it, What did the whole picture look like?
Oh, yeah. Plus, if you're I'm playing logic to this, like I'm siding with OJ. But
don't worry. I sound like it a lot of the times, too.
If you are jealous and you are left to your own devices to fill in the gaps, they are the worst.
Endless,
too. Immediately go to the worst scenario.
They're ever... Look at your landscapers out there, just dart hanging out of his mouth, just trimming some bushes.
This is his Keith Richards impression here.
So, you know, how could it only be half? He's like, she's the mother of his children. According to OJ, he had to hop on a red-eye flight and go to Chicago for work. He realized that he only had $100 bills on him. Hashtag relatable. And he knew he was going to need smaller bills. Hit me up, OJ. Yeah.
You want coins? Any coins with that juice?
He needed to get drinks. He needed to tip, whatever. So he went to find Cato, who only had 20s on it.
Classic.
Yeah.
That's probably why he only keeps Cato around. Cato's literally his wallet.
His piggy bank is more like it. Can I tell you something that my daughter said that was so funny?
No, thank you. Continue with the pod.
Wait, I just got to tell you.
Because obviously.
It was, she burnt this kid so bad. And I was like, it was like.
She burned a kid?
No. She's not OJ. But it was like the 7-year-old version of being bougie. And so this kid, I was listening to him and like, mm-hmm. It was him and his sister. So his sister is in grade 3. Olivia's okay. In grade 2.
Okay.
My daughter's in grade 2. This kid was in grade 3. And then her brother is in grade 7.
Gotcha. His name's Ron.
His name, no, is not Ron. Everybody in the story's name is Ron. But so he was saying something to his sister. I caught the tail end of the conversation. But he goes to his sister, why are you even listening to her? She probably has like maybe $20 in her piggy bank.
Oh my God.
And Olivia goes, I don't have a piggy bank. I have a bank account.
Nice.
And
that
he
is
goes,
a good great
He
tumor.
Goes, I have $102 in my bank account. Olivia's like, I have like $300 in my bank
nice.
Account.
Nice.
And as he was walking past me, I'm like, she does.
She's paying rent too.
But it was like, if she was like a real housewife of 7-year-old kids, she would be like the, I don't have a piggy bank.
That's right.
I have a bank account.
And then flip the table. Yeah,
I loved it. I was like, that was a good burn. She's like, I was just being honest. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, what a fucking kid. What brings up people's financial situations and like arguments? It's so
well,
rude.
She burnt him.
So rude.
So yeah, he went to Cato and he borrowed $20. And then he realized in that moment he hadn't eaten because he hadn't been invited to Mezzaluna. And he told Cato that he was going to go to McDonald's to grab a burger. And Cato asked if he could join him. OJ said yes, and they headed towards the McDonald's on St. Monica Boulevard. And every time I wrote that, I was like, Santa Monica Boulevard. It's like a Sheryl Crow song.
It doesn't go like that.
Yeah, it does. You sing it.
Santa Monica Boulevard.
Exactly
what no, I it is said. Not. You're like, Santa Monica.
It's not. Watch. You will not listen to this because you don't listen to our podcast.
True.
But we just sounded the exact same.
Until the sun comes up over Santa Monica Boulevard. That is not how you sounded. Yes. I cannot wait to listen to this
yes,
back.
I can't either because you are going to eat your socks.
Eat my socks.
I don't know if that's a thing. Okay. So OJ said he went home and he was packing for Chicago. This is after McDonald's. And he had picked up his golf bag and there was a few loose golf balls in the bottom of his bag.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing? Like, don't you just keep those to go golfing with now?
Yeah, I think you have a big Ziploc bag, a zippered section in your
bag
golf balls.
He says that he chipped them off of his lawn because he, apparently the loose balls you don't use again.
Yeah, okay. Well,
maybe if you're a millionaire, you don't.
True, or sometimes you stash range balls in your bag for later.
I don't know any of these words.
Yeah, they're just shitty golf balls they use at the driving range.
And when he said chipping, I was like, am I hearing that right? Because I really don't know if that's a... But yeah, he said chipping them off of his front lawn.
I mean, yeah, into where?
Just into the vast...
Into the vast oasis of pace and time.
Of Brentwood.
Place and time.
So the time at this point was about 9:30 p.m. and his limo was coming at 10:45. This timeline is very important to pick him up and go to the airport.
Ooh, we're getting like murder.
You betcha. Or we're going to be here until the sun comes up over Santa Monica Boulevard.
Oh, fuck.
Unbeknownst, you tried to jump on that, didn't you?
I did. I had donut time stuck in my throat.
So unbeknownst to OJ, after dining at Mezzaluna, Nicole's mom, Judita, had forgotten her glasses, and she called Nicole about getting them back, a call I'm sure she regretted until her dying day.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
You would never forgive yourself. As
never.
No, there's no way you're
and there's
ever
nothing. There's
anybody can save.
Like, less than zero. This was not your fault at all. You just want your glasses back. Any normal person would do the exact same.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she wanted her glasses back. Nicole called Mezzaluna and was advised that Ron Goldman was just finishing up his shift and that he would be able to run the glasses to Nicole at her condo. Nicole and Ron had met before at Starbucks and they were friendly. They would run into each other every now and then. Like, socialites in LA, it's clicky, right? So, like, sure. You know people.
Yeah.
So Ron said it would be no problem at all to run these glasses over. It was about 10:03 when OJ realized that he needed to finish packing and have a shower. He said he was just going to go inside and an unfamiliar car drove past him. This is where the horseshit starts.
Mm-hmm.
He waited to see who it was, and it was pretend Charlie, who got out of his pretend car.
Mm-hmm.
And OJ said they were casual acquaintances and that he liked Charlie because Charlie was always smiling. And for someone who didn't exist, he had a great smile. OJ said that Charlie started walking towards him and he could tell that something was up with Charlie just by the way he looked. He came over and OJ told him that he had a strange look in his eyes and asked him what was up. Charlie told him he wasn't going to like it. And OJ told him to tell him what he was talking about before he got pissed off. Charlie started to tell him about the dinner that he had just left and how there were two guys there. And they must have not known that Charlie and OJ had known each other because they started talking about a trip to Cabo. And they had recently taken that and there were girls there and it was Nicole and Faye.
Uh-oh.
Charlie told him that there was a lot of drugs and drinking and that things ended up getting very kinky. OJ responded to his fake friend, "Why the fuck are you telling me this, man?"
"You just told me to, dude. Jesus."
Charlie told him that he figured OJ would have wanted to know because of, on top of everything, this had happened in March at a time when OJ and Nicole had still been trying to work things out. OJ said that he told Charlie to get in the Bronco and he had plans to scare the shit out of Nicole. He was hoping he would be able to scare her straight.
This is all from If I Did It.
Yes, sir.
The OJ book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Again, Charlie is not real, but I think that in his mind, Charlie may have been his conscious.
Well, isn't that in, have you seen Fight Club?
Like, yes, Brad Pitt's fake.
Yeah. That whole, maybe that's a Charlie thing, like it's a dissociative or something. I don't really know what I'm talking about.
Personality disorder.
Mean. Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, so at every point in this Charlie story, he wants to go back. He's telling him, no, do this, don't do this. Like, oh my God, what did you do? Like, so Charlie is not real, but maybe that's his way of, you know, being the angel on the shoulder.
OJ could confess to these murders and nothing would happen, right? Like, unless,
it is double jeopardy.
Yeah.
But I think that
actually,
there would.
What is double jeopardy? You moron. Thank you. And she'll be doing the pod by herself as I've just been fired with her eyes.
And also from the radio station that I have no control over. Right. I haven't even met any of the people that work here. But I think that if he was to fess up to it, they could somehow maybe charge him with something different.
Okay, maybe like lying under oath or something, or like a little purge. Oh, no,
I would think something, like even if you could do maybe second degree, right? Like it would still give him time. I don't know exactly. I know that they can't charge him with the same crime twice.
Right.
But if you charge him under something different.
That's the dumbest law in the world.
But it's to keep.
I know, I get it, to keep, you know, from being persecuted by the
constantly,
prosecution.
Constantly, yeah.
I get it. I know why.
Ashley Judd could kill her husband after. So that was pretty cool.
I could kill you right in the middle of Mardi Gras. Nobody'd say a thing.
Nobody could do a damn thing about it. Yeah. I love it.
She had a good run in the 90s, eh?
Oh, I like Ashley Judd.
I know, me too.
Oh.
What?
Was that sexy? You like sexy like Ashley Judd?
Oh, I do like her sexily.
Sexily.
Sexily. I would like to do SEX with her.
Aw, that's so romantic.
Yeah. I mean, if it was up to me.
Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd. I know that right now you are flying into our DMs being like, oh my God, this is the only reason I haven't pursued it. I wasn't sure if he looked at me as sexually as I looked at him.
Her thumbs are on fire right now. She's like, brrr. So yeah.
Ashley Judd.
Yes, Ashley Judd said Charlie is not real.
Said to OJ.
But I think that in his mind, Charlie was his conscience. And because this entire time he tells the story, Charlie's telling him, OJ, let's go home. Don't do this. I shouldn't have told you. You needed to calm down. Let the lawyers settle it, OJ. But OJ passed the point of calming down.
Mm-hmm.
OJ parked out back of Nicole's condo, a little bit ahead of her entrance. You know, it's so crazy, too. I watched a YouTube video.
Just the facts.
So this guy, he went to Nicole Brandt's house and he tried to talk to the owners. And,
oh, God.
And they drove off. But he was like, I'm fucking going in there. And like he took it upon himself to hop her fence.
Oh.
And then the camera guy is like, bro, this is not a good idea. And like
Charlie.
Charlie. This is a different guy. This is just a random dude. And he's like talking about, oh, her head was right here and there was blood here and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, don't fucking break it and don't put it on the internet.
Yeah,
like,
Jesus.
It's very hard to deny things. OJ didn't even put his on the internet.
It's just weird. We talk about celebrity and not feeling like sometimes they're real people. Like, that's a crime scene. That's where a mother would.
But this isn't even, it's not Nicole's house anymore. It's some random people. Yeah. And like, he's just, you know, breaking into their house and like, yeah. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of an asshole move, but I still watched it because I was interested.
Yeah, well, he's a clout chaser.
And I'm clout.
No, you aren't. I'm sure you are.
You're an asshole.
Thank you.
So, OJ had passed the point of calming down. He parked his car out back of her house, and OJ said that in his car, he had a wool hat and gloves that he kept there for days when it was a bit chilly on the golf course.
Now, just refresh my memory. What state does OJ live in?
Los Angeles.
Okay. Well, I said state, but that's fine, too.
Okay. California.
Actually, I guess it does get cold there.
I don't think
not
it's...
Not enough to keep cat burglar Halloween costume in your fucking car.
And you know what's so funny was when I watched... Oh, and I just happen to have a toque right here. Because it's like I was watching the trial and Johnny Cochran was like, look at me. Do I look any different right now? Like,
right.
What? Is OJ an idiot?
Is OJ an idiot?
This doesn't do anything. I still look like the same person.
I haven't put the glove on.
So... He had his hat and his gloves. He kept in his car. OJ said that he reached under his seat to retrieve his knife. Oh. Now, the knife, it should be noted, was bought on May the 4th. Be with you.
What? is this a fact or from the book?
Well, it's a fact. Yeah, it's
okay.
A fact.
Okay, so that knife, they did track it down.
And it's a very unique knife, which in murder, unique knife's not the way to go. But I mean, it worked out here, so.
So then... It was OJ's knife?
Yeah, he bought it.
The murder weapon was OJ's knife?
Well, yeah, he bought it, but we don't know that it was... been found, right? So...
Whoa, yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
But he did buy a giant knife.
Right.
About a month and 8 days before he did this. So, it's anybody's guess.
Okay.
But OJ would say that he purchased it because Los Angeles had, quote, a lot of crazies. But to me, a knife does not seem like a defense weapon.
No, a knife is a weapon for psychopaths.
Yes.
To get that close kill feel that you don't get with one of those long-range guns.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm sure it would help if you had one on you, but like...
Yeah.
You're not like just slashing at your...
No, get a gun. Look at us being like pro-gun. I've never been so pro-gun.
I said mace, you said gun.
I went right with gun.
We've been a long-standing, you know, not fan of guns, we're changing
very
today.
Anti-gun, but now, hey, listen, you know what? We're very pro-gun.
We're very anti-knife.
Yes.
But OJ has this knife. He shows it to Charlie, who again is pretend, but also scared.
Charlie, look. I wouldn't do that, Juice. Shut up, Charlie.
And Charlie's begging him to stop, all while being completely made up. Charlie then snatched the knife out of OJ's hand, and OJ allowed him to do this. And he exited the white Ford Bronco. OJ said that Nicole's gate had been broken to her courtyard. And he had told her many times before that she needed to get that gate fixed. But we all know how Nicole is, never listening to the advice given to her by her extremely level-headed ex-husband.
Classic Nicole.
Yeah, come on, Nicole. It's OJ we're talking about here. This guy knows what's up. So he was able to get in easy, and he said right away that he noticed that there were candles burning and Nicole was playing music. As OJ was able to make his way to Nicole's door, he heard the gate squeak, and he saw a young man approaching. He called him good-looking with a thick head of black hair.
Ron Coleman?
Yeah. Who the fuck are you? OJ said. Ron apparently stammered out, I just came by to return a pair of glasses. Ron told him that Judy left them at the restaurant that he worked at. Hearing this young man refer to his mother-in-law by her short name set OJ right off. He goes, so it's Judy, is it? You're on a first-name basis with Judy? Now, Charlie was coming through the gate, and of course he was carrying the knife, because, you know, you take it away from the bad guy, and then you show up to where he is carrying it.
Yo, juice, got it.
Ron held up an envelope with the glasses in it, and he asked OJ to check. He was only there to return glasses. OJ began screaming at the man, and eventually Nicole opened her door, and she was only wearing a small silk backless dress. She said, OJ, what the fuck is going on? And he told her that he wanted to know what this guy was doing there. So Nicole also had this beautiful Akita dog, and just by coincidence, its name was also Kato.
Aww.
But with a T, not a D.
Oh, Kato.
So very different.
Right, of course.
But when Kato came to the door, he saw OJ and he wagged his tail. And then he looked over at Ron and he wagged his tail. And as far as OJ was concerned, that was proof that the dog knew Ron.
Oh.
According to OJ, what happened next was a screaming match between him and Nicole. Pretend Charlie had moved a little closer to OJ, still holding the knife, and OJ screamed at Nicole, I gave you everything and you fucked it all up. He said that in that moment, Nicole came at him swinging, and he said he ducked out of the way of her hit, and she lost her balance and fell hard onto her right side, and he heard her head connect with the cement.
I honestly thought you were going to say his recollection, but she fell so hard, and as she
decapitated
fell down,
herself.
Yeah, on Charlie holding the knife.
Imagine, was, oh my
it's
God.
Craziest fucking story, man. It's the craziest fucking thing I ever saw.
So Nicole had been knocked unconscious by this, and Ron Goldman, who was a very skilled karate...
master? Karate person? Martial artist?
Thank you. Okay, I was going to say karate player.
Wow. Like a karate player.
Football.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay. Yeah, karate enthusiast?
No, I could be an enthusiast. I'm like, yay, karate.
Yay, go karate. Karate.
I did take karate. I didn't make it outside of a white belt, though. But so he got into a karate stance, and according to OJ, he said that if he wasn't so angry in that moment, he would have laughed at Ron. Charlie continued to plead with OJ to leave. As Nicole was regaining consciousness, OJ snatched the knife away from Charlie and said, we're not going anywhere. He would say that Ron was circling him and bobbing and weaving. And OJ went towards him and he said, you think you're tough, motherfucker? Show me how tough you are.
Jesus. OJ wrote this?
Yep.
What a psycho.
Mm-hmm. But hypothetical.
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm. Then, according to OJ, something went horribly wrong. And what he would describe was that he blacked out for a period of time.
Oh, I was an asshole.
OJ said his heart was beating out of his chest and he put his hand over his heart and noticed that his shirt was soaked in blood. In his words, at first he thought it might have been his own blood, but as he looked around, he realized what he was seeing. Ron was slumped against the fence in a fetal position. He said it was slowly coming back to him. Ron was here dropping off Judy's glasses, and their shouting had brought Nicole to the door, and he remembered Nicole, he said. Nicole was laying face down in a puddle of blood at the bottom of her stairs in her courtyard. As he was realizing what happened, Kato the dog went over to where Nicole laid on the ground and let out a guttural howl.
Aww.
Now, that's real.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So this is how the neighbors determined the time of death, because Kato howled like that throughout the night until Nicole was found. And Kato's actually the reason Nicole was found. He went and like tracked down people and he had...
What's going on? Kato's trouble back at the...
And he had his...
Paws were covered in blood?
Yes.
Aww.
Yes. So OJ said that he had never heard that noise come from the dog before and it made a chill go down his spine. OJ said that he made it to Nicole's rear gate. He looked behind him and noticed the fresh, bloody footprints he was leaving. According to OJ, he started to strip down there in the rear of Nicole's alley, and then he placed his clothes in a pile, and he dropped the knife into the center of the pile and folded it like the world's worst package. OJ then remembered his keys and his wallet were there in his pants pocket, so he dropped the bundle and started to look for them again. When he retrieved his keys, he got into the Bronco. He said that he left so fast that his tires screeched. On the drive home, OJ kept trying to convince himself that he was dreaming and would wake up in his own bed. He was approaching his home. He saw the limo driver was already there to pick him up for his flight to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
It was 10:37. He was supposed to leave at 10:45. OJ said that he drove past the limo driver and to the home of his neighbor, Eric Watts. What a lot of people didn't know was that there was a path that led from OJ's yard right by the tennis courts to Eric's property. So when they would have like tennis games with each other, they could just cross through each other's backyards. Cool. He parked the Bronco in a rush with its front wheels touching the curb and its rear wheels a ways out from the curb.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem like anything weird to me. It's how I park most of my vehicles. But in his telling of the story, it would be that Charlie parked it there. So OJ said that he handed him the bloody package and the knife, and he told him that he had to dispose of it. Like, we're supposed to believe that Charlie is this guy that he was an acquaintance at best.
Yeah.
Charlie felt that OJ had been done wrong. Bad.
Yeah.
So he came over to, like, help him, and then he's going to stand witness to this murder, and then he's getting rid of evidence.
I know. Come on. We thought better of you.
That, like, you haven't painted a
do
very...
better juice.
Like, whatever. He ran through the path to his tennis court and then behind all of his guest homes. At one point, he lost his footing. Ironically, at this spot where he said he lost his footing, that's where the right-hand glove was found. So at scene of the crime, left-hand glove, right behind Cato Kalin's guest house, left-hand
really?
Glove.
Okay. Yeah.
So that was where the bloody glove was found. OJ made it inside, disarmed his security system, and ran upstairs with all of the lights off so that the limo driver wouldn't see that he was going upstairs.
Okay.
He jumped in the shower quickly. OJ ran downstairs and placed his black Louis Vuitton bag with his golf bag outside. The phone rang to let him know that someone was at the gate. OJ told him that he had slept in, but he would be down in a minute. As he was trying to make his way out, Cato Kalin apparently came in asking OJ if he had heard the banging behind his guest house. OJ told him that he hadn't heard anything, and he made his way out to the limo.
That was OJ losing his footing?
Yes.
Right.
So he hit like the air conditioning
So that's
system.
What we heard Cato, like the famous for me, in my mind anyways, him on trial is with leaning into that microphone being like, there was a bang, and then he like bangs on the desk.
I love Cato Kalin.
I know.
He's so funny. At one point they were like, did you think that like you living with OJ would really get like your acting career off the ground? Or like, did you see him as competition? And Cato Kalin was like, I don't really think we were going for the same roles.
Good call.
So according to OJ, while at the airport, people kept approaching him and asking him for autographs. He said that one fan was curious about the ring that he was wearing and was asking him if it was a Super Bowl ring. Super Bowl, yeah. Super Bowl.
Did you say Super Bowl?
I did, and I wrote Super Bowl, too.
Oh, my God. I don't think OJ won a Super Bowl.
I think he must have. I asked him if it was a Super Bowl.
Oh, and he said yes.
Hey, Siri, did OJ Simpson win a Super Bowl?
I found this on the web.
OJ Simpson played in 3 Super Bowls and won one of them.
Oh, well, there you go. No shit. I guess he played for Buffalo in a ton.
Seventh season from 1969 for the Buffalo Bills.
Huh. All right.
Okay.
All right, OJ. Good for you. You fucking asshole.
Yay.
Proud of you.
But he said, no, it wasn't his Super Bowl ring. It was his Hall of Famer ring.
Hello.
This small fact will come up shortly. OJ said when he made it to his hotel, which was the O'Hare Plaza Hotel, he fell asleep and only awoke to his phone ringing the next morning. Nice to get a good night's sleep, you know? It was an officer from the LAPD. It was one of the main officers, so either Lang or Van Haten. And he informed OJ that he would need to come back to LA because Nicole had been killed. When OJ got off the phone, he said that he threw a glass at the wall because of how upset he was on hearing the news. He said that It was at this time that he noticed his finger was bleeding. A piece of glass must have bounced back because when he had been showing off his Hall of Fame ring, it certainly wasn't there. He didn't have that cut.
Oh, I see.
And
he
certainly would have noticed it because he's OJ.
He's showing it off.
Yeah. So OJ called Nicole's sister Denise, and her first words out of her mouth were, "You brutal son of a bitch, you killed her. I know you killed her, motherfucker."
Gee, is that him or real? That's got to be real.
He said it, and I think I think
she would have said that too.
If it was his like fluffed up version, she would have been like, "I know you're a really great guy, but OJ, yeah. I have my suspicions, even though you're super kind and generous."
No, OJ's version would be like, "Hey, OJ, oh my God, I'm so sorry you had to kill my sister. She must have been a real asshole to you."
I get it, Juice.
Nobody blames you, Juice.
OJ was met at the airport by his assistant, Kathy Randa, and his business attorney, Leroy Taft, who went by the name of Skip.
Oh my God, I would never hire an attorney named Skip.
It's adorable, though, don't you think?
Skip.
I mean, you got to get really cute problems to have Skip cover them.
Although Bieber's manager's named Scooter.
Yeah, Braun.
Kanye, so.
Yeah. Skip tried to convince OJ to go past his office before encountering the cops at his home. Because you got to get your story straight.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. OJ refused and responded, "No, the cops told me that they needed to see me. And they said they'd be waiting inside my house. And I'm going to my house. I can't go to your office. I am going to my house. That's what the cops asked me to do. And I gave them my word." To which I say commendable.
Yes. Good for you.
Robert Kardashian was there. And when OJ made his way into the house, Robert could not get past the cops as he was trying to hand OJ his bags. So he tossed them into his car and took them to his home. It would be wildly believed that the Louis Vuitton bag contained the murder weapon and bloody clothing. But years later, Kim Kardashian would say that she looked through the bag when she was a kid. Yep. I watched her say it right from her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
She said she was just being nosy, and in it was golf clothes, toiletries, and random things. She said that the bag is likely still with her dad's belongings. But if that's the case, when everybody was trying to locate it, why not just hand it over?
So here it is. Exactly.
Right?
That's why I think he was OJ's fixer.
Yeah. So OJ ended up getting whisked away by Detective Philip Van Hatter and Thomas Lang. At the time, they were asking to go into the station with OJ. Another one of OJ's attorneys that had worked with him was Howard Weitzman, and he was telling OJ he was making a mistake by going into an interrogation. But OJ told him that he did not want to be viewed as an uncooperative witness, so he went. This interrogation only lasted about 32 minutes. OJ recalled the events that took place on June 12th. He talked about the recital and how he had been invited to dinner. He told them about McDonald's with Cato and how Judita had definitely invited him to come for dinner, but he had declined.
Mm-hmm.
When asked how he got the injury to his hand, he gave a few different stories. He told them about the glass at the hotel, or maybe he cut it when he was wrestling with his son, or actually maybe it had already been there, but it had somehow opened up again. Or maybe he got it when he was playing a particularly rough game of golf. Do you golf?
I have golf.
Have you ever gotten golf-related injuries?
Aside from a hangover, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, no. I didn't think that golf was one of those sports that you got injured in.
No, it is not. I mean, if you do, it's usually taking a ball off like the ball. That's like the worst one.
So it's anyone's guess at this point how he got that cut. And he then told them that he left for the airport. He had fallen asleep, and that would have been somewhere between like 10:45 or 11. Van Hatter informed OJ that they have impounded the Bronco and are running tests on it now. And they had their photographer come up and take photos of his injury. And that was that. The Juice was allowed to go home.
Was let loose.
Yep. Bye, Juice. Back at the scene of the crime, Officer Bill Hyder had gone in and got the children and took them out a different entrance so that they were not exposed to the horrific scene.
Had no idea they were home.
Yes.
Till today.
He took them to the station and he got them blankets and pillows. At this time, Sydney was 8 and Jason was 5. And as they were left in the home with the scene right outside the door, Sydney was quoted by officers saying, "Well, I don't know what's going on, but it's a school night and I want to know when my mummy's picking me up."
Oh my God.
Right?
That's heartbreaking.
The bodies of Nicole and Ron were found when a neighbor who found Cato the dog wandering around apparently very out of character, Cato had barked and howled all night, starting right after the murders. In the morning, Cato was looking for somebody to come with him and help his owner. When the neighbor came upon the dog, all the fur around his cream-colored paws was stained with blood, and he led the neighbor to the horrific scene, and they were discovered at about 4:25 a.m. After the bodies were found, officers decided that they needed to do a wellness check, is what they said, on OJ. When walking past the poorly parallel-parked Bronco, Officer Mark Furman would notice a small amount of what looked like blood near the driver's side handle. This gave him what he thought was exigent circumstances.
We talked about that. Essentially.
Yes. To enter OJ's home and do a warrantless search. OJ's defense team would later say that all of that evidence should be suppressed due to the lack of a warrant. But as a judge would later rule, that they were within their legal rights to make entry upon finding the blood. So after finding the blood, Furman would scale OJ's fence and would be first person to find the bloody glove outside of Cato's room. This would later prove to be a problem because Officer Mark Furman was a loud and proud racist. And as luck would have it, writer Laura Hart McKinney had followed Mark around for 2 years, researching him for a book about women police officers. And the reason she did this was because not only was he a racist, but he was a sexist too. And he had some strong thoughts on the topics of women being police officers. And she happened to have tapes with Mark saying some downright disgusting language.
The N-word.
Yeah, lots of N-words.
Yep.
He actually once said that biracial relationships were a crime against nature.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
It's disgusting. I mean,
it's that level of racism.
He's
it's laughable. It's sad, but Jesus Christ.
Now, you have to remember the other week when we were talking about the right to a speedy trial.
Remember that?
Yeah. We couldn't really figure it out between the two of us. I have answers.
All right, let's hear it.
So what that means exactly is that you have the right to have a trial within 60 days. But typically, the defendant will waive that right in order to collect more evidence to defend themselves.
Okay.
Well, in OJ's case, evidence was not going to help. It was going to do the exact opposite. So his dream team wanted the trial to be as speedy as possible.
Of course.
Nicole's funeral was held on June 16th of 1994. She did have an open casket, but the white blouse that she wore went up to her chin to cover the damage that was done to her neck.
Remember when those photos were published?
I never saw them.
I mean, I think that they were, I've seen them since like online, but like I think the National Enquirer ran them on the front page with like edited with a black bar over her neck.
Oh, you mean the crime scene photos?
Yeah.
Those ones I've seen.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't let any photos be taken in the funeral home.
Right, okay.
I did see a picture of him like from a distance. Like you can kind of just see a little bit of her profile, and you can see his back, but they weren't, people weren't allowed to have cameras or anything like that in the funeral home. But yeah, no, they didn't have the black bar on the photos that I saw, and it was horrendous.
Like, and that's another reason why I think he did, because he's so strong.
Right.
Like, you gotta be strong.
And stabbing is a very personal way of killing someone, too. It's not, it's like strangling. It's like you have to be close to somebody to do it.
Yeah, you wanna watch them. You wanna watch them die.
It's not good.
No.
So yeah. Her neck was covered. When OJ came in, he was on a cocktail of medication. And it was apparent to most people there that, like, everybody said, like, he was tranquilized. Yeah. Faye Resnick was like, he came in and he looked like a zombie. Like, he wasn't even speaking properly. And he said in his own book, they gave him antidepressants, anti-anxieties, and something else. There was three things that they gave him. But he wore dark sunglasses the entire time. And when he stood over Nicole's casket, he wept and said sorry to her. Faye Resnick would say in her book that when talking about the funeral at the burial plot, Faye sat down beside OJ, who was nearly catatonic, and she said to him, OJ, what happened? And OJ responded, girl, out of all of them, you know that I loved her too much.
Out of all of them?
Yeah, like all of her friends and family, I guess.
Oh, gosh.
And the funeral, close friends would go back to Nicole's parents' house. It was while everyone was there that a call would come in saying that a warrant had been issued for the arrest of O.J. Simpson.
Wow.
Kris Jenner would say to Faye, to watch what OJ and his best friend Al Cowling were going to do. Chris said they were going to slip away and change clothing so that the press would follow AC and OJ would be able to slip out peacefully. And Faye was shocked as she watched, and that is exactly what they did. OJ had until 11 a.m. on June 17th to turn himself in. Helicopters and media swarmed Rockingham, and Robert Kardashian would call OJ and tell him that he should come and spend the night at his house. OJ got himself together and snuck out that same pathway that he had the other night through the neighbor Eric Watts' property, and Kardashian would pick him up there. Well, at the Kardashians, OJ was staying in Khloe's room, which is funny because everywhere will say that it's Kim's room. I watched an interview with Khloe herself, and she said that it was her room and that the media made it out to be Kim's room after the fact because it was more salacious.
Oh, but then why not say he was her dad and not Khloe's dad?
Because Kim looks exactly like Robert Kardashian.
Oh, good call.
Khloe does not.
My mom, it's a little more prominent now, but she used to have like a streak of like silver gray hair up the front.
So did my mom, yeah.
And it was pure, like, and that started like a whole trend.
Did she do it on purpose?
No, she just had gray hair in the front. That's just where it started for her.
My mom had like a skunk's tail.
It was like the big, it was like a fat, like a hair trend. Like people were dyeing their front of their hair.
Really? To do it on purpose?
Yeah, yeah.
My mom was gray at 18, so I don't think she was doing it on purpose. Sorry, mom. The next day, OJ awoke and he was slowly getting himself together. This is the day he's supposed to turn himself in. Paula was downstairs as well as other friends. People kept coming in and out of the room that he was currently using. And at one point, he put his Magnum 357 to his head, telling Robert Kardashian that he couldn't do it anymore. Robert pleaded with OJ not to do this and not to do this in his daughter's room. He would say, "I could never walk in this room. My daughter could never sleep in that bed. She'd know what happened."
Yeah, just go to a different,
move to a different room. Why did I even invite you here, OJ?
We're like, all right, you know what? Let's just go to the bathroom. We'll run the tap, we'll clean up most of the mess.
I'll help you. Just lie in the bathroom. So after this, OJ handed a sealed manila envelope to Robert and told him not to open it right away. Simpson told him that he would know the right time to open it. Do you know about this?
No.
Okay. He went downstairs to say his piece before leaving to turn himself in. After he was done, it was nearly 11 a.m., and he would have had to turn himself in. Mm-hmm. Everyone was slowly dissipating until it was just OJ and AC in the front foyer. Dun, dun, dun. And OJ told him, let's just go. Something that a lot of people have mistaken was that the white Ford Bronco in the slow speed chase was not OJ's. It was AC's. Did you know that?
I did. You know what? I only recently knew it belonged to Al Cowling's because I saw it on Pawn Stars.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they pawning it off?
Yeah, they wanted to sell it.
They had it?
Yeah, yeah. The guy was a friend of AC, I guess, and he gave it to him.
You're kidding me.
No, some guy.
Did they buy it?
No, they didn't. They didn't want anything to do with it.
Oh, I would have bought it.
Oh, gross.
Really?
Would you drive around in it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Would you lay down in the back, get on the phone, make a couple phone calls?
You wouldn't drive around in it?
Fuck no.
He didn't kill anybody in there. He just sat there.
It's just so gross and associated with all
that.
What
if you got the opportunity to sit in the broadcaster's booth?
Of what?
Of a football game. That he had broadcasted over.
Oh, I mean that he was in there?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't give a shit.
It's the same thing.
No, I mean it's not. There's no world famous video of a broadcast booth with 90 fucking LAPD cars on the 405 or whatever.
It was the 405. Yeah, but I mean, like, he didn't kill anybody in there. Like, all they did was have a slow speed chase. He just sat in there. Like,
yeah, I don't know. To me, it's too close to the murder.
You're such a goody two-shoes.
I am not.
You really are. Oh, God. Live a little. Drive a Bronco.
I would drive a Bronco, just not that Bronco.
What about his Bronco?
No. Oh, yeah, maybe.
That was the one that he just murdered somebody in and then drove away. His blood was in that Bronco.
Oh, yeah. Wait, they both had, how many Broncos?
So he had one that Hertz owned.
So then that's why everybody thought
yes,
it was
there was
his.
Two identical Broncos.
Both white?
Yes. Exact same year, exact same type of car.
So, of course, if they find the blood in the white Bronco and then the speed chase is in a white Bronco.
They think that it's OJ's, but yeah. It's not OJ's. No, and OJ's wasn't even OJ's. It was Hertz's. He was the primary driver on it.
Right. But no, anything with OJ, I would want nothing to do with.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to like this wool toque I have.
Oh, my God. You're not going to like these two gloves. These two small gloves barely fit.
So, OJ told him that he wanted to drive past Nicole's house. So, AC hopped on the 405.
Hey-o.
And headed north. When they were nearing Nicole's house, they noticed that the cops had already completely swarmed the place. Now, OJ was the victim of one of the first ever cell phone ping tower.
Oh, location
findings.
No shit.
Yes, but I think that in 1994 it was very much in its infancy,
mm-hmm.
and he probably didn't know.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't have.
But we all know now. When I kill my husband.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They're going to be pinging me like crazy.
No, I'm going to attach my phone to my dog. She's going to run around the neighborhood. They're going to be like, oh, you were just running around your neighborhood.
Oh, while you kill?
Yeah, in a different, completely different location.
Wow.
It's not, I've told him this plan, so it's not.
My plan? My plan for murder?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Involves a car ride, so you got to get the person to go with the car.
But not the Bronco.
Not a Bronco.
Okay.
Car ride, got to be the wintertime, because mm-hmm. you need them to be wearing a winter jacket.
So it's got to be in Canada.
Got to be in Canada, okay. In the winter. And then you crank the heat so high that they undo their seatbelt to take their jacket off.
Okay.
As soon as they undo the seatbelt, you know, ram the car off the road into an embankment.
But what if they just turn the heat down?
I would say, my car, my rules. I'm freezing, a-hole. Don't worry. The heat won't bother you in a minute.
You know what?
Want to go for a car ride?
Oh, God. Why do you want to kill me so bad?
Why does everybody want to kill me?
I'm nothing but kind to you.
You're real O.J. Simpson. You're very kind.
Okay, so instead of doing this now, he couldn't go to Nicole's house, so he wanted to go to the cemetery so he could see her grave for one last time. But when they got there, it was, again, overrun with more cops. And they were driving away from the cemetery, and O.J. turned on the radio. And it was all over the radio that O.J. Simpson was now considered a fugitive.
This was after 11 a.m. then?
Well, it was getting close to 11 a.m. when they were in the foyer.
Right.
So then they were driving all around town, so yes, it was after 11.
So the time to turn himself in.
Get in here, Juice. A little ways down the road, AC needed to relieve himself, so he pulled over, and when he did that, OJ, who was in the back seat lying down of the Bronco, he reached for his bag that had his gun in it, according to OJ. As OJ listened, Robert Kardashian would next come on the radio, and he would be reading the 4-page suicide letter that OJ had handed him in the manila envelope.
Oh, my God. And that's all he said was, you would know the right time, and that's the time he picked?
Yes. So.
A little more instructions there, Juice. Jesus.
So, in the letter, OJ would maintain his innocence. He said that he was proud of who he was, and he said that he felt like a battered husband or boyfriend.
Okay. Sure.
But that he still loved Nicole regardless. And he signed it, Peace and Love, OJ. Then suddenly, Dan Rathers was on the radio saying that 911 had been called by Nicole because of OJ 6 or 7 times on domestic disputes.
Mm-hmm.
According to OJ, this started to make him mad. So he had a gun to his head. He's ready to kill himself. Dan Rathers gets on. He's pissed off now.
You're saying Rathers?
What's his name?
Rather.
Oh, sorry.
Dan Rather. CBS News.
Okay. Dan Rather.
Rather. Good impression of you, by the way. I know they can't see it, but you nailed what I was going for.
And as OJ tells it, it was then when he decided that he didn't want to die. And simultaneously, he became the world's most famous fugitive.
Mm-hmm.
The public was made aware of the situation, and they were told to call 911 if they spot OJ, AC, or the white Ford Bronco. And that's exactly what happened. A man called in who sounded really excited to be a part of this. This man called in and he said that he saw OJ headed north on 5 Freeway. He said that he looked right at OJ and OJ like stared him down, like gave him a death stare. So they were also tracking OJ's cell phone, which I imagine was the first cell phone tracking ever. So he probably was unaware of how cell towers work. But did you know that the first cell phone was made in 1973 and weighed 4.4 pounds?
Everybody knows that.
And you're like, please shut up and carry on because the story is super long.
Hey, do we really have time for these fucking detours?
So,
no, I didn't know that, by the way.
Well, hey, yo.
Yeah, thank you.
And it was when he could see police in his rearview mirrors that AC called 911. He called to let them know that he had OJ and everyone was okay in that moment. But if the cops continued, OJ had a gun to his head and he was going to harm himself. When, this was funny. When asked what his name was, AC said, "My name is AC. You know who I am, goddammit." Yeah, that's... Did you hear that?
Yeah, you know who I am. Oh, shit.
AC and the cops were all traveling about 35 miles per hour.
Yeah, weird.
Right? And fans had made signs of encouragement, and they would hold them up over the overpass.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Run, Juice, run.
Yeah.
And they would hold them up over the overpasses as the Ford Bronco made its way down the freeway. In OJ's book, he's like, "I don't even know where these people found the time to make these signs."
Yeah, that's a good point. Although, it was a pretty long. Plus, you got to think, but the like, world was watching.
Some of them are like, it's like they took a marker and they like shaded in the letters, yeah, like these yeah. big bubble letters. And then like, it had to be time consuming.
Yeah, this was the days before dollar stores were on every corner. You had to go into Grand and Toy.
Yeah, that's exactly.
What a throwback.
Is Grand Toy not around anymore?
I don't think Grand and Toy is around. However, I do see Grand and Toy trucks once in a while.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So do with that what you will.
I know there's a Staples, so that does it for me. So yeah, they'd made signs of encouragement. There was also about half a dozen helicopters above him. OJ finally arrived at his home at around 8 p.m., 9 hours after he was supposed to have surrendered.
Do you remember watching the chase?
No. I was, what was this, 1994? I was 10.
I was 12. And I remember watching it. We were in, it was 94?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to my timeline then.
Well,
in my mind, we're watching it in Florida where we lived in 92. And I remember our guy.
Do you think maybe you were psychic?
Or we were watching some other part of, because we were in Florida the year before, 92, 93. So I'm thinking maybe it was the news that, no, if it all broke in 94.
Yeah.
My timeline is way off. Maybe there was a guy from Florida that was with us, an American, who said, nothing's going to happen with this.
How can you trust anything you've said up to this point?
I know.
Do you even trust yourself?
That's why people think there's a Mandela effect. Like, wait a second.
You're like, I was reading the Berenstain Bear.
Yeah. Son of a bitch. I could have sworn to you it happened in Florida. I could picture it. The couch, the floral couch, everything.
Floral, that sounds beautiful.
Yeah, that's right. Florida ballers.
So, 9 hours after he was supposed to surrender, AC was also arrested for aiding and abetting a fugitive.
Oh,
and
I didn't know that.
AC,
nice.
A poor little goofball.
You know who I am, goddammit.
Goddammit! And OJ was taken into custody. AC's charges would later be dropped due to lack of evidence, which...
Okay. hey, here's my evidence. The most popular video of the world so far. Like...
Oy, oy, oy.
There was something... Like, that day was the craziest day in sports.
Yeah? Why?
There was something about that day. I think, like, there was a famous golfer had the something with the Masters was
it's
going on.
It's my dad's
on.
Birthday.
That's another thing. There was, like, a hockey playoff. There was a basketball playoff. Yeah, so finals.
Okay.
So finals would have been there.
Yep. So, so he was taken into custody. And AC would later invoke his Fifth Amendment rights when he was deposed to testify against OJ. So OJ was arraigned on June 20th of 1994, where he pled not guilty to the murder of his ex-wife, Nicole, and her friend, Ron Goldman. And opening statements would be made on January 24th of 1995. During the seven-month period, OJ would be seen by a number of doctors. This is funny. Two of the doctors were Dr. Lenore Walker, who was an expert on battered women, and Dr. Bernard Yodowitz. According to OJ, after running a number of personality tests on him, both of these doctors concluded that OJ did not have the personality of a batterer. OJ said that while he was pleased with them reaching that conclusion, he would tell them that their tests were total shit. When he was asked to elaborate, OJ said that some of the questions could not be generalized. For an example, one of the questions was, when you walk into a room, do you think that everyone is talking about you? To which OJ said, and I quote, fucking A, they're talking about me.
I mean, yeah.
He kind of has a point.
Yes, he does, unfortunately. Yes, of course.
And another question was, do you think you're the subject of conversation in most social settings? And OJ said, hell yeah, yeah, I'm the subject.
Yeah, we gotta walk this test back a little bit.
And he would go further into it saying, if the guy sells insurance and thinks he's the subject, he may have a personality disorder. Hell, he may be a wife abuser, but it doesn't mean shit when I say it because it's the truth.
I mean, I hate it. I hate it.
And he's like, I don't have anything against insurance salesmen.
Yeah, my God. No offense to insurance salesmen.
So the trial should have been an open and shut case. There was blood evidence everywhere.
Yep.
And they had his blood at the scene of the crime. They had his rolled up socks that were in his bedroom with Nicole's blood on them.
911 calls.
They had the volatile history between Nicole and OJ. And maybe most damning of all, they had a safety deposit box that belonged to Nicole. It was almost as if she was reaching out from beyond the grave to try and help put her ex-husband in jail. In the lockbox, it was truly heartbreaking what she had in there. It seemed as though Nicole almost knew her fate. And I'm so sorry to do this, but I am going to have to do a part three. And we'll discuss what's in the lockbox in the last part of O.J. Simpson.
Patreons get it right away, though.
Yeah. So, bye.
Bye.